You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 27th of April. We will be fine. It is Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, look behind the curtains. How are you? It's awesome, isn't it? It's incredible. I'm recording this at like 8:45. We're 12 hours to tip off. I can't wait. I got butterflies. You're fired up. We got energy that's endless. You're trying to focus on work and you can't. It's every reason we're a fan. And it's a season where we didn't think we'd have a day like today. How awesome is this? And now I just got to go win it. Go knock these guys out, advance, and get on a plane tomorrow and head to Houston for a Sunday game one. All right. It is awesome. Here's what we're going to do on the show today. We are going to go a little bit through my rewatch review, and then we will touch on why we're fine. And I owe some of you from questions from yesterday that I didn't entirely get to. I'm going to try to get to those if I can. I don't know that I'm going to be able to, but I'm going to try to get. So that's the plan today. All right, let's get to the rewatch, because I think the rewatch was interesting. The biggest thing that jumped out to me is I actually didn't think we were great in the second quarter. They made a lot of turnovers. We got out and ran, but their defense for the entire night was at a level that was just much, much better than it has been at any point in the series. They deserve a great deal of credit, even early. And the fact that the Jazz kind of hit a bunch of threes and Jay Crowder went nuts and got up 25 is pretty stunning when you're rewatching it. Now, Russell turns it over and the Jazz ran out of the breaks and the Jazz really took advantage of every opportunity they had and then they made a bunch of shots. But it was not, the game did not have that Ricky Rubio, I'm just sitting here conducting, let me find which of the three open guys I'm going to go find feel that existed in the previous matchups. So tip of the hat to the Thunder on the fact that they just overall all night played a better game, even though they were down 25. That actually makes their performance to me even more impressive. Russell kind of was way out of sorts. He was bizarre right before he went bananas. And he hurt them for a little while. It was really weird. Like he was grabbing people and throwing the ball away. And it was particularly strange. But other than that, I thought they actually played well. So even more to their credit for coming back and fighting back through it. The second one was, I saw the game rewatching it and out of emotion as having the back side of it, second having three portions to it. The Thunder go on their run, which is incredible, and the game is tied heading to the fourth quarter, and the game stays that way for a while. That run really kind of ended. They certainly had the momentum and the Jazz were playing, but I went back and masochistically rewatched the game and also re-listened to my call. That really just as much for work. But there were plays in that third and fourth quarter that the Jazz made that I thought were going to stem the run and win the game for them. Jay Crowder makes an incredible defensive play and then a driving layup the other way by Donovan. And I think to myself, you know, that put the Jazz back up eight. And then Westbrook buries two threes and it's back to tied. We had the fourth. The game is a one-point Thunder lead at 8:25 left. It's a one-point Thunder lead at 7:39 left. It's a one-point Jazz lead at 6:36. So really, I see this last part then as a different portion of that game. Rudy's back in the game. Rudy comes back in and at the eight-minute mark, and they just close better than we do. Which, okay, like, you know what? That's on their home floor, on a closeout game, with two star players, with our lack of playoff experience. That's not stunning. It's really not. I think that we would have thought at some point in the series that the Oklahoma City Thunder, with Paul George having and Russell Westbrook both having played more playoff games than I think our entire team combined, that if the game was tied in the final 8 minutes, that they would control it. And we went 6 of 16 from the field. Nobody shot a free throw. And we went 0 of 5 from 3. That wasn't good. And we got him, you know, frankly, we're going to have to make some threes because Donovan's going to have to give the ball up. Donovan was not superb in that stretch, by the way. Donovan's reads were not as good as I've seen him. And those threes.
Paul George attack.
Those threes, by the way, are a Donovan drive out to Crowder, wide open angle left three. I mean, nobody anywhere near him. And that was at the 5:02 mark. At the 4:31 mark is the left corner wide open three for Donovan where Rudy probably should have dunked. But Donovan's a 56% three-point shooter on those. The next ones are all late. 150 late, and Donovan tries to go one-on-one on Abrines and misses a pull-up three, which isn't great. And then the last two were kind of out of it while we're trying to pull this together. But we missed some wide-open looks. That just happens. Like, Donovan went 4 of 10, had one assist. We didn't move the ball. Like, we weren't very good there. But to me, that's the way I see this game, is that there were those different aspects to it, is that there really was just a closing stretch where they closed better than the Jazz did. The other thing, there were some other aspects in the rewatch that I think are important for the next game. One is that Paul George guarded Donovan Mitchell to open the game. That was a significant change that I think we've kind of forgotten about. Two was the Melo and Corey Brewer. No one's talking about Corey Brewer. Everyone's only talking about Melo. And Melo's situation's really interesting. I mean, he and Mo Cheeks get into it on the bench the other night about wanting to get back in the game. And he doesn't. And he does, and then he's not good, and then they pull him again. And so I think we're going to see 15, 18 minutes of Melo tonight, and that's it. That's a huge, significant change to this series. And then I only wish I could understand my last. My last note was the fact that there were these three different sequences. So that's on the rewatch. What jumps out to me is they just were way better. And then they came, and then Russell went nuts. But even when they were way better, the Jazz went up by 25. And really, honestly, even when they were way better, the Jazz went up by 15. And then they weren't way better. They blinked down 15. Russell went a little bananas. And then the Jazz stretched it to 25. And then they came back at it. And understandably, a team with limited playoff experience on a closeout game on the road got flustered. And they threw a new defense at him switching. And the Jazz didn't deal with it great. Rewatching it, it's one of the most incredible individual performances I've seen by a star in Russell with a co-star in Paul George. And then from a Jazz standpoint, I wasn't blown away. Like, I wasn't like, oh my gosh. And what jumped out to me the most is in the final 8 minutes when Rudy Gobert is back out on the floor, Paul George goes 2 of 7 and 1 of 2 from three. And Russell Westbrook goes 4 of 8. He has two assists, one to Paul George and one to Alex Abrines, which are probably the biggest plays that he makes. But he's 4 of 8 shooting. None of it's at the rim. None of it was at the rim. So tip your hat. Like, Russ goes 3 of 6 on pull-up mid-range jumpers. He's regularly a 40% shooter. He hit one more than, you know, he was either going to be 33 or 50. Like, and it went. And then he's a 30% three-point shooter, and he went 1 of 2. So he was either going to go 50 or 0. And the coin flipped both ways on his side on both of them. And he deserves credit. But I'll take that. Like, the shot distribution he had in the final 8 minutes against Rudy, if that's what he has tonight and they win again, you tip your hat. Because they have two players that are good enough to beat you. But we will be fine. And I will tell you why, in just a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Murdoch Hyundai. Blake over at Murdoch, great dude. Gotten to know the Murdoch family really, really well and enjoy my time with Blake. Saw him at the game the other night. We were all fired up about it. They've got the new Kona. The new Kona is that small SUV. The best way to kind of think about it is the Subaru has that Crosstrek that everyone's driving. This is what the Kona is. $20,000 to $22,000. I'm driving it right now. It's zippy. It's fun. It's quick. It's got kind of all the features in it. Great car, particularly single. Like if you're looking for a one person car, the Santa Fe is what we're going to end up getting for the family, for the kind of big family car, and we're going to put all the safety features for our 16-year-old or 15-year-old son who's going about to start driving. So that's coming to us here pretty soon if we can get that straightened out. So that's all with Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. You'll get the Murdoch Guarantee, which is car washes and oil changes for life, the no-regrets buying experience with a five-day guarantee, price match guarantee, and the return policy as well. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Today's show is also brought to you by Intercap Lending. That's where we did our mortgage refinance. Steve Carter helped us out. He was just terrific. Why Intercap? One, they're a 40-year company. They're independent and a direct issuer. So what does that mean? That they service your loan. They have a long-term relationship with you. It's better for you as a customer. It means that if you have low credit, or something of that, or a VA issues, that's half their volume. So they're going to nail the VA stuff. If you've got some low credit issues, they can look into it and are probably more flexible than some other people. If you are self-employed, have business assets, multiple properties, let them take a look at your loan. That's often where the really stringent big banks don't do very well. So Intercap can help you out. Steve Carter's the guy, 385-800-8528. Call 385-800-8528, Intercap Lending, NMLS, 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. All right, here's why we'll be fine. We're going to be fine for the big, huge number one reason of Rudy Gobert. I mean, truly, that's the reason. The single most important reason why we're going to be fine is Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert's impact on this series is incredible. The Jazz defensive rating with Rudy on the floor in this series is incredible. It shows you everything you need to know about what's taking place. So if we run through this for a second and look at where the Jazz are, there's about five or six different things. I was going to close with Rudy. I just decided to start with Rudy on the fly there. And then there are a bunch of other. Actually, well, let me go to the little things that are all going the Jazz direction, and then we'll get to Rudy. Okay, number one, the Thunder offensive rebounding, which is vital to the Thunder success. If the Thunder don't get 21% of their offensive rebounds, they're 3-9 against playoff teams this year. Their five games, they've been under 21% in all. They have 9, 10, 6, 9, and 7. Offensive rebounding is a key for them to have continued success. Doesn't mean they're going to lose every game. 3-9 means they can win. Number two, the Jazz have taken 24 corner threes in the last two games. For all their defensive adjustments, in three of the last four games, the Jazz offensive adjustment has gotten them 11 corner threes. The Jazz are the second best corner three shooting team in the league. That is huge. In the Thunder's two wins, they have 19 fast break points. In their three losses, they have 10 per game. That's 19 per game and 10 per game. In Utah, they had a total of 15 in two games. Is that altitude? Is that us just getting back juiced by the crowd? Whatever it is. But that's key. Math issue still exists. The Thunder are taking 30 non-restricted area twos per game. So what does that mean? If you look at the shot, if you shoot the restricted area, corner three are the two best shots. Restricted is number one. Corner three is number two. Above the break three is number three. And then any shot in the mid-range is really actually a pretty bad shot. So, and the mid-range is either the paint non-restricted area, which is a 0.8 point per shot, or the mid-range, which is a 0.81 point per shot. This is pretty significant. Restricted area is 1.26 points per shot. Corner three is 1.18 points per shot across the league. Above the break is 1.07 points per shot. And the mid-range, any shot that's a two that's not in the restricted area is 0.8. Those are bad, bad shots. The Thunder in 30 are taking 30 shots a game at that level. That would get them, on average, 24 points. The Jazz are taking 20 shots a game at that level. That's, you know, that's the Jazz now in their next 10 shots, just are a point a shot, they're 2 points ahead. And if they're better than a point a shot, they're really far ahead. Favors and Gobert on the floor together are plus 47 in the series. They only played 10 minutes together in game five. The Thunder have three players, Abrinas, Brewer, and Felton, all shooting better than 50% from three. The Jazz only have Royce O'Neal out shooting his normal performance. We're going to be fine. I can continue, but let's get to the big one. The big one is the Rudy Gobert impact on things. The Thunder are taking 28.8% of their shots in the restricted area when Rudy's on the floor. When he's off the floor, they're taking 45% of their shots in the restricted area. 29% when Rudy's on the floor, 45% when he's off at the rim. 45% at the rim is an incredible number. They're making 55% when Rudy's on the floor. They're making 61% when he's off. Okay, Rudy's going to have to play 40, 41, 42 tonight. Like, you're playing Rudy tonight. Last game, the Thunder took an incredible 50% of their shots when Gobert was off the floor. In the restricted area. Sorry, I didn't finish that sentence. Last game, 50% of their shots when Gobert was off the floor were in the restricted area. For the series, Oklahoma City is shooting 41.5% with Gobert on the floor and 50% with him off the floor. 41.5 on, 50% off. Game five, when everything was so great for the Thunder, they shot 36.8% when Gobert was on the floor. This is why we're going to be fine. The big guy is that good. Donovan has bounced back from every poor performance all year. Joe's better at home in the playoffs. Ricky actually, I think, was better on the road this year as a player in general. 44% on the road, 39% at home. I don't remember whether Joe did that as well. The Thunder, per 48 minutes, are shooting 46% when Gobert's on the bench from three. That's the number to watch. In those 8 minutes tonight when Rui doesn't play center, are they getting these wide-open threes from penetration and kick? Or do they suddenly start to get them when Gobert's on the floor? They have not done that yet in the series. The defensive rating in this series, with Gobert on the floor, the Jazz have a 96.7. With him off the floor, they have a 116.1. We'll be fine. Just to quote Rudy, we will be fine. Because he's every little indicator. The things the Thunder do well, offensive rebounding, they don't get in this series. Fast breaks, they have not gotten in Utah. See if they get them. You know, if they start getting those two things tonight, be concerned. Where they like to exist, the restricted area. They don't exist there against us. Now let's get to the final piece of this. The other answer is, of course, did something change in the way that the Thunder can play the game and view the game because of the fact that they had this close? Like, do they come with a new zest? Are they no longer scared? Did they figure out how to break Rudy? Like, that's a little bit, what I'm hearing from some of the side of Oklahoma City. That I actually thought Royce Young on Woj used an interesting phrase. He made the comment, did the toothpaste just come out? Like, is that what, did the toothpaste just come out? Like, is that what happened? So maybe, but we go back to that final 8 minutes. Russell Westbrook didn't take a shot in the rim in the final 8 minutes. And Paul George went 2 of 7 in that final 8 minutes. Westbrook, with Rudy Gobert off the floor in the series, has taken 48% of his shots in the restricted area. 48%. In other words, the minute Rudy leaves the game, Russell Westbrook is just going to the rim unabashed. Awesome. But he's only taking 27% when Rudy's on the floor. Paul George, when Rudy's off the floor, Jazz are forcing him off his left hand, which he likes to come back to. If you watch him when he shoots a jumper, he always comes back to his left hand and shoots. The problem is he drives when he goes right. So the Jazz are taking away his left hand, except for if Rudy's out of the game, then he's just going straight to the rim and there's no one to stop him. And he's taking 42% of his field goal attempts in the restricted area when Rudy's off the floor, 16% in the restricted area. Those are big, big, big numbers. Yeah, they're unique to right now. No, they're really not. If you dig into the career of Paul George and Rudy Gobert in 2015-16, he only took let me look at that for a second. That note does not make any sense. I'm glad I checked this because I would have gone to this in the game. He shot 2 of 3 in the restricted area for the two games against him in 15-16, but he only took 3 of his 10 shots in the restricted area. In 16-17, which is in Indiana, he only takes 4 of 32 shots in the restricted area when Gobert's in the game. And this year, he only took 6 of 22 in the restricted area. So in the last 2 years, he's only taken 10 of his 54 shots in the restricted area when Rudy's on the floor. It's not new. He's smart. And he doesn't have great lift anymore. Not the lift he had pre-injury. Coming into this game, Russell Westbrook, in the last 2 years, had only taken 19 of 97 shots in the restricted area when Rudy's on the floor. We're going to be fine. We got Rudy. That's really what it comes down to. We got Rudy. We're going to be fine. Who are tonight's officials? What does it mean? And your questions coming up. Today's show brought to you in part by Optimal Norms. Optimal Norms is a pretty interesting company for your kids. With our athletes, we get them ready physically and we get them all their skills. But what about the mental skills? What about mental performance consultants? That's what Optimal Norms does. They do mental performance consulting for your athletes. The mental aspect of sport's pretty critical. Get nights like tonight. How do you handle the pressure? How are you staying confident? How are you playing forward and not backwards? How do you make the right decisions and relax in those stressful moments? That's what mental performance consulting does for your athlete. You sit down one-on-one with a mental performance consultant, deliberately train the mental aspects of your sport, which most athletes don't take the time to do. These consultants have advanced degrees in sports science and psychology, giving them the ability to help your athletes. Plus, with modern technology, they can do them online as well. OptimalNorms.com. That's OptimalNorms.com. You can talk to Mason there while you're at it. Mason Nichols, 801-722-8180. That's 801-722-8180. If you sign up for 5 or more sessions, you will tell them when you're Locked On Jazz, you'll get at least 1 for free. How's that? Kind of cool. Today's show also brought to you by Rad Concrete Coatings. Rad Concrete Coatings are there for you if you need waterproof deck coatings, garage floor coatings, even if you need that waterproof garage. Maybe your garage is up above or whatever it might be, or there's things valuable around the outside of the garage. You need that garage waterproof coating and concrete overlays. So the driveway resurfacing because death by salt and those harsh winters, and you suddenly have the surface flaking off. Mike's done a wonderful job building his company over the last 17 years. His first employee is still with him. I asked him what his greatest thing of pride is in his company. He says, we have great applicators. It doesn't matter. We have the best product in the world. We'll go to all the World of Concrete shows, get you all the latest, greatest stuff. We have the greatest supply you can have out there. But if our applicators are not good at this, then we're not any good. So that's his biggest moment of pride. You can check out Rad Concrete Coatings at Parade of Homes every year. This year they're in 8 different homes in the Utah County Parade of Homes that's coming up. They'll also be featured in Salt Lake and in the Park City ones. Check out their website, radconcretecoatings.com. I thought I had it there for that read. Or you can go to radutah.com. I like that a lot easier for me to say, radutah.com. All right, Scott Foster, Ronnie Gerritsen, and Eric Lewis. These are the most experienced officials in the league. Scott Foster, 23 years, 163 playoff games, 19 NBA finals. Ronnie Gerritsen, 30 years, 234 playoff games, 6 NBA finals. Eric Lewis, 13 years, 26 playoff games. It's the best the league has. You can take the approach that that the league is bringing in their biggest game influencers, or someone tweeted at me. Okay. If you want to, okay, so you'd rather have 3 crap officials? Okay. Then you can do that. You can tell me that they won't be bothered by the home crowd and so it's bad for us. Okay. That might be true. I think I'd rather have officials that aren't bothered by the shenanigans of Paul George and Russell Westbrook and aren't awed by them. NBA Ref Stats charts at what percentage of fouls are called by a ref in a game. Scott Foster is the second most dominating official in the game, which is interesting. He calls 37% of all calls. Ronnie Gerritsen is at 31%. And Lewis, where is Mr. Lewis? Eric Lewis, where'd you go on this chart? Are you hiding from me? You short 5-letter last name. Is the 8th highest. So we've got active whistles tonight. Leaders in the league of fouls called per 48 minutes. Scott Foster is 2nd. Eric Lewis is 8. Ronnie Gerritsen is 53rd. I actually think that's to the Jazz advantage. The Jazz generally play without fouling. The Thunder foul a little bit more. The Thunder are overly aggressive and physical. If there's a lot of whistles, I think that's good for the Jazz. I don't know if the website NBA Ref, there's an NBA Ref site and that keeps a bunch of data, and these guys have been around so long that the data is probably still good. And they don't, NBAstuffer.com, I can't tell whether, they never say when they've updated on the stats. So it's hard for me to tell, based on games officiated this year, they have James Capers at 64 games. So I'm assuming that this is pretty well updated. So here's some. Scott Foster called 59 games this year. The home team won 63% of the time. Is that high? Well, the highest in the league was James, of guys who called 20 games, was James Capers at 75%. Then Derek Collins at 73%. So Scott Foster is about the 8th highest home official in the league. On games, the way it's sorted. Let me see what else I can give you on Scott Foster. He calls a dead, generally even differential between home and road. Eric Lewis, who worked only 38 games this year, home team wins 60% of the time. Home differential is 1.5. And he calls 52% of his fouls on the road team, 47% against the home team. According to Ronnie Garretson. Was Ronnie Garretson hurt for part of the year? Let me see. Sorry, when you're doing these searches live, sometimes it's hard to. Ronnie Garretson should call about as many. He's like one of the better officials. These are the big guns, guys. These are the best they got. If they're not good tonight, they lose control of the game, then anyone would have lost control of the game. And you, I mean, if you want to just be negative, you can just be negative. I don't know what the impact on it is, but I do know that this is as, you know, this is generally as good as we're going to see. For whatever reason, I can find every name but Ron. Oh, there's Ronnie Garretson. 54 games, home team won 59%. He calls more team fouls against the road team. I don't know what I told you. Home team differentials, I think one of the highest in the league is with 5.5 with Ronnie Garretson. I don't have a lot of answers to what I just told you. I'm not sure it means a darn thing. But that's who our officials are tonight. And if you want to be negative, you can be negative. If you want to be positive, you can be positive. We've got a good crew. We got a great house. We're going to be fine. Can't wait to see you out there. Can't wait to call the game for you. Can't wait to be maybe doing a podcast Saturday for you, previewing Rockets Jazz. Have a great one.